My name is Kathy Belitsky. I'm moderating this session. So our first talk is by Eden Rose Champagne. She is actually a PhD candidate where the university I got my degree from at the University of Waterloo. But in her case, in the field of aging, health, and well-being. And she's also a registered dance and movement therapist, in Toronto working with seniors. So fascinating background. And she's going to talk to us now about embodied psychotherapies, the value of adopting a Christian perspective.
All right. So thank you for the lovely introduction. My name is Eden. And yeah, I'll be presenting on embodied psychotherapies today and the value of adopting a Christian perspective and integrating our faith into these approaches. So just a little bit of an outline in case you're like me and you like to know where is this going. I'll just share a little bit about me and some inspiration for this presentation. And then I'll define and describe what are the somatic psychotherapies and what is dance and movement therapy, or DMT. I'll then get into a little bit of theology around embodied spirituality. And then I'll kind of move into how can we integrate a Christian lens with a Christian DMT model. And then we'll have time at the end for discussion and questions. So a little bit about me. Already this mostly got covered. So a PhD candidate. My master's and background is in cognitive psychology and neuroscience. And I have my alternate route master's in dance and movement therapy. And I work as a dance and movement therapist in long-term care, but also with adults across the ages. And my Christian faith impacts all that I do as a researcher and as a practitioner. So just kind of one verse to kind of ground this presentation as a biblical inspiration for why are we talking about embodied psychotherapies? I believe that God cares for us and created us body, mind, and spirit. And so I just love the phrasing in this verse from Romans 12, which says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So I just want you to keep that in mind and embodied as we move forward with the presentation. So just to define some terms, what are the somatic or embodied psychotherapies? So the embodied or somatic psychotherapies are approaches to therapy which emphasize and engage whole body awareness as a mechanism to change. So beyond something like, you might be familiar with CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy, which is around kind of changing distorted thoughts, which will impact your actions. The embodied psychotherapies really engage the whole body and body awareness. And they emphasize the unity of mind, body, and spirit, I will add. Sometimes they don't mention that, but I'm going to mention that today. So somatic approaches can be used for a wide range of populations, but in particular, somatic symptoms of mental health and or trauma are quite common. So for example, somebody, let's say, has anxiety, there might be a dysregulated nervous system, relational issues, flashbacks, sweating, rapid heartbeat, or a disorganized sense of self. And so this is where the somatic psychotherapies really come in, because when oftentimes we have something going on emotionally or mentally, there is a physical or somatic symptom there. And so by engaging with the body, we can really help people in more of a holistic way. So the somatic or embodied psychotherapies, there's a wide range of them, but they can include sensory motor psychotherapy, mindfulness-based approaches to therapy, as well as dance and movement therapy, which is where I'll be zoning in today, as that's my area of expertise. But just to give you an idea of some of the other approaches that do exist out there. So what is dance movement therapy? Fun fact, in Canada, we don't have any dance movement therapy undergraduate or master's degrees programs. So it's a little bit of a hidden gem in Canada. It's more established in the States. So essentially, dance and movement therapy is a whole person approach, which uses movement to foster the emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual integration of the individual. So it falls under the realm of the creative arts therapies. And in dance and movement therapy, these approaches really highlight expressive and improvisational movement. So rather than an approach like maybe dance exercise or adapted dance, where you're teaching a particular population a particular movement form in a way that's accessible to them, rather than teaching participants particular movement forms, dance and movement therapy is really about helping people to express personal themes through their own creative exploration and movement. And DMT can happen in individual capacity, so just the dance movement therapist with a particular client, but it can also occur in group settings for particular population. So for example, I have a virtual dance therapy group, which I'm running right now for older adults who just join in from at home, and they might have different forms of cognitive impairment or not. But that's like just one example of a group that might exist for dance and movement therapy. And as I said, personal themes are explored through movement interventions. So an example of something that might happen in a dance therapy session would be something we call mirroring or mirrored movement. So you kind of pair up with somebody else and you take turns as the mirror and the mover. So the mover, first of all, they would kind of express through gestures. There might be music going on, a personal theme or tension or story. And then the partner acts as a mirror, not mimicking the partner, but reflecting their movements back to them. And in something like this, people can feel a sense of a nonverbal affirmation, sense of support, and sense of connection with another person about their story. So how has dance and movement therapy typically intertwined spirituality? In general, the somatic therapies are largely rooted in New Age or Buddhist beliefs or practices. So especially in mindfulness, you'll see a lot of things around emptying the self, emptying the mind. The focus tends to be on this transformation of the inner self and letting the inner self be kind of the guiding principle or the goal of the therapeutic outcomes. And in dance movement therapy specifically, Carl Jung's concepts of, you know, the divine within or practices of shamanism or shamanistic healing have been integrated most commonly. And symbolism, or the idea that through the creative arts, we can kind of connect with God or restory our personal experience, has been identified as a therapeutic mechanism, but it's often defined very broadly. So, you know, through dance, we can connect with spiritual beings or we can connect with the divine, but it's not typically rooted in a particular religious or spiritual belief. So before we kind of bring all these concepts together with a Christian approach to dance and movement therapy, I think it's important to define what is distinct about Christian spirituality. So quote here from Paul, who's in the room. Christian spirituality is based on a trusting, obedient, growing, personal relationship with a transcendent and personal creator, God. And I found this quote really helpful because rather than the other somatic approaches, which focus on, you know, transforming of the inner self, as Christians, we're called to have this dual focus of there is an inner transformation, there is a sanctification going on, but it's growing to be more like Christ. And so our focus is God-focused and God-centered as we experience inner transformation, as well as being involved with the world and serving and caring for those around us. So one question I'll pose at you for reflection in this moment will be, does Christianity value embodiedness, which is a somatic word that gets thrown around? So this idea of really attending to our body. A lot of what I hear in terms of sermons or Christian content is great. And a lot of it is on, you know, what are our thought patterns? How does that impact our actions? But does Christianity actually value the body, embodiedness? A really interesting book by Sam Albury, who's a Christian writer, called What God Has to Say About Our Bodies, has a lot of really interesting food for thought. And these two quotes really kind of helped me ground this presentation. And he says, "A gospel for souls that excludes or overlooks bodies is not the gospel of Scripture. When Jesus stepped into this world as a real physical human, he reminded us that there is nothing incidental about our physicality. Our bodily life is God's gift to us." So I think this just helps to ground the truth that God cares about us, body, mind, and soul, and that by Jesus coming to earth as a human and embodying our form, I think that's very meaningful in terms of our faith as well as our practice. To give one other example of how the Bible speaks to the importance of the physical body, Let's just take a second to think about the holy sacraments that we might practice, depending on your denomination. The Lord's Supper, right? In Luke 22, Jesus says, "This is my body, which is given up for you. This is the new covenant in my blood." The sacrifice of Christ is embodied. He felt real physical pain. And the Lord's Supper as well points us forward to the new heavens and the new earth, when we will be embodied, glorified beings and be in the Lord's presence. Baptism as well. Titus 3:5 talks about washing of regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Romans 6 talks about how, you know, baptism represents dying to the old self and being raised to new life with Christ. But there's a physical washing there. Our bodies go into the water and come up to represent an inner spiritual cleansing. But I think it's important to just note how embodied these two very central practices are to Christianity and to the Christian faith. Two more verses here, just to kind of emphasize this idea of whole being discipleship. Going all the way back to the first and greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And that word strength can be translated as with all of your muchness, with all of your being. And another verse from 1 Corinthians 6, Paul's talking to the Corinthian church, and he says, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So before we kind of bridge this into the dance and movement therapy model, I think it's important to take a second to just briefly touch on the relationship between dance and Christianity. So there's obviously a huge range of opinions, of ideas around this. So in the Renaissance period, dance did become largely excluded from Protestant and Catholic churches. Dance was a no-no. It's not something you want to be doing. But today, there is a wide variety, based on your denomination or your faith community, in if and how the arts are integrated into communal worship, but also just integrated into how they're viewed by the church. So Christian praise dance or liturgical dance, as well as embodied prayers, do give us examples of spiritual practices which are embodied, but they don't necessarily tap into the psychotherapeutic combination of the Christian spirituality with physical or embodied creative expression. So this is a theoretical model, which I've created with a colleague who lives in the States, and we're both Christians, we're both dance and movement therapists, and we've really been trying to think together and brainstorm how could we bring in Christian faith into the dance movement therapy setting for believers. So this is specifically for clients who already prescribe to the Christian faith. And so this is a theoretical model that we've kind of just designed, grounded in theory, that's currently under review at the Journal of Psychology and Theology. So hopefully it'll be published soon, we'll see. And so the model essentially has five domains or five ways that we think we can integrate the Christian faith into the dance and movement therapy session. And so the model is visualized here with the image of the cross, just to keep in mind that there's always these ongoing vertical and horizontal dimensions to life, but also in the dance therapy session. So there's these opportunities for connection to God, as well as connection to others in the group. So I'm just going to briefly walk through the five domains of the model. So the first aspect of the model is this idea of co-regulation, so the role of the therapist. So as a Christian therapist, or as you, I don't know what fields you all work in, but as Christian practitioners, scholars, we bring our whole self, we bring our faith into the situations where we work. And so first of all, we were thinking about, well, if the dance therapist is a Christian and the client is a Christian, you know, we can pray for our clients prior to a session. We can ask the Lord to give us wisdom, to give us direction, to give us discernment prior to and even during the session at times. So really opening up a space for therapists to be willing to, you know, rely on their faith as they go into their work. Secondly, cultural variations. So as therapists, sometimes depending on where we work, it might be difficult, but really just trying to highlight, inquiring with clients about their spiritual beliefs, about their faith, and if and how they want that to be integrated into their therapy. and always practicing cultural humility, given that even within the Christian circle, how we interpret and believe and live out our faith, there's always nuance, there's always variation. Then really the core of the model is this idea around being grounded in truth and hope. So as I was saying before, oftentimes the somatic therapies end up really emphasizing, you know, be led by your inner self and focus on yourself and all your own, you know, emotions or desires or things like that. But how could we actually, in the dance and movement therapy session, use something like a promise from scripture or a passage from scripture that people really resonate with as inspiration for a movement phrase, for a movement exploration, for creating an embodied prayer that people can then use outside of the session. So just for example, embodying scriptural truths is one thing that we thought we could do in the session. Fourthly, the idea of music. So as a dance therapist, some dance therapists don't use music at all, depending on their approach. I personally could not run a dance therapy session without music, whether that's having a live musician there or creating a playlist for a particular client or particular group. Music is really core to my approach. And so, I think adding in Christian music, whether that's, you know, hymns or modern worship music, is a really not easy, but an opportune avenue to bringing people's faith into the session. And then the last part of the model is the idea of aesthetics. So there is some research that talks about how experiencing something beautiful is related to well-being outcomes. And as Christians, we believe that God is the creator of all things. And so we have so much beautiful imagery in scripture around, you know, nature and being rooted by streams of living water, and just that God created all the things that we can see. And so perhaps we can bring in some of this nature or imagery from scripture around beauty into the session. So oftentimes in some of my sessions with older adults, depending on, you know, the weather, we might embody, okay, like, let's do some rain, or how does that feel? Or how does it feel to be embraced by the sun, or different things? But as a Christian, we have a whole other level of depth of meaning around these concepts of creation and of aesthetics. So that's one other way that we think we could bring these into the session. So just briefly, some potential applications. How could this model, or which populations might this model benefit? Older adults and caregivers is the group that I work with most commonly, but also thinking a little bit more broadly for those dealing with chronic or terminal illness, finding opportunities to support people in ways that can help them to embody hope and embody perseverance is so important, especially when you're facing a chronic or a terminal illness. So the hope is that we can hopefully run some groups for these populations. And that's what my dissertation will hopefully focus on, is how can we support older adults or their caregivers through the creative arts approaches in a way that helps them to embody hope and resilience. Some other populations which might benefit from this approach would be refugees, those dealing with different forms of addiction, or just more general mental health concerns. So what? Well, I hope that if you get anything from this presentation, that it will be that our embodied life matters to God. Christianity affirms a whole person approach to humanity. And so I believe that therefore Christians ought to have an important voice within the somatic therapies, which also value this holistic view of personhood. So some key takeaways. The somatic therapies may commonly integrate new age spiritual beliefs. However, Christian theology can also be integrated into these approaches. And I believe that dance and movement therapy presents a promising opportunity to facilitate therapeutic outcomes with a Christian approach for Christian clients. So if you're interested in further reading, these are three books that you might find interesting. The one that I mentioned before, What God Has to Say About Our Bodies by Sam Albury. Handle with Care is a really interesting book on the ministry of touch and the physical body within the church. And then a bit more of a clinical resource would be God and Soul Care, The Therapeutic Resources of the Christian Faith by Eric Johnson is one that I found to be quite interesting. And some select references. So yeah, thank you very much.
Would you happen to have a preprint of your paper?
Not yet. I can, if people are interested though, I'm happy to take emails down and I can send you the draft if you'd like to read it.
I have a friend in our church who has a yoga class, and a lot of what you're saying seems to relate to how she approaches it. And I think she might be actually interested in
Yeah, and I mean, yoga is another one that it's really, really rooted in, you know, New Age spiritual practices. But again, it's a good question of how can Christians engage with these embodied approaches, which have a lot of physical, mental health benefits, right? So I'm happy to email it to you. Yeah.
Hi. Have you looked into, because actual muscle movement releases chemicals for the brain. Have you included any of that kind of stuff in your paper? I have another comment too, but.
Yeah, we didn't get into too much of the physiological aspects of dance. If you want to talk about it, I would be happy to, because my master's thesis, I looked at EEG brain changes before and after movement. So I'm really interested in that. But yeah, I think again, it emphasizes, you know, that our bodies have impact, and what we do with our body has such an impact. And so, yeah, I think dancing has, you know, the spiritual benefit, but also physical, mental, emotional, all those things. So definitely, yeah.
And John Swinton talks about thick spirituality and thin spirituality. And a lot of counseling now is including thin spirituality. And what you're doing is thick spirituality, where you're diving into somebody's belief system, and actually more healing comes out
yes.
when you tap into somebody's belief system. And so
yes.
I just want to commend you on that.
Thank you. Yeah. Rather than, I think, just this very vague term, right, of spirituality and meaning, and it's everything. It could be, you know, it's very relative. I think Swinton actually has a great quote on embodiment that I can find and send to you, because yeah, he has got really great thoughts. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.